Amen. Go ahead and please be seated. Well, good morning. I trust you're in good spirits, well rested from an extra hour of sleep, or maybe you didn't get an extra hour of sleep. Maybe it was an extra hour of doing some things around the house or whatever you chose to do. But hopefully you're in good spirits here this Sunday morning. It's good to be back with you here. Last week we were worshiping on Sunday with the campus students. They had a campus earlier. They had a campus retreat with the Toronto Church campus, the Montreal campus students, the Waterloo and Tri-Cities campus students. And so there were about approximately 75 to 80 students gathered together in Tweed, Ontario, together in cabins, having some great meals, some great fellowship. And so from what I understood, they had a great time. We worshiped on Sunday and had a great time of worship with these campus students. And so it's always a great time when they do have their annual retreat, but it's great to see how big it's becoming. Over the years, the retreats were about 15 people, then 20, then 30, and so now it's a group of about 75 to 80 people, and I'm sure next year's retreat will be even bigger. And so we'll have some campus students, not today, but over the next couple weeks, come forward and share some different things that they learned from the retreat. Well, today we're going to continue to talk about heaven. If you're visiting with us over the past couple months, we've been talking about heaven and how important it is for us to be thinking about heaven on a day-to-day basis. You know, we've been looking at heaven, and in some cases, we've had to as well look at hell. You know, when we think about the Bible talks about two final destinations. And it's up to us to choose our own final destination. You know, of course, we've learned about what hell is. And if you don't know much about it, you do know that it's not a great place. It's an awful place of eternal suffering that we should do everything we can to avoid it. And Satan does not want us to learn the truth about heaven. Because heaven is a place where God is. You know, even when we think about the songs we're even singing, you know, seek Him while we have the chance, that one day we will become like Him. Heaven is a place of goodness, eternal, unimaginable joy, a paradise, a perfect world without corruption, a place where God lives, where God will walk with us, talk with us. We will see Him and hopefully spend eternity with Him in heaven. And now heaven is a place, a room, rooms, many different rooms. And now there's a special place prepared for us that when we live our lives as faithful disciples of Jesus, that we will enjoy an eternal time of rest. And we will enjoy eternal delights more than we can even imagine. And so we should look forward to being in such a place where it should be on our minds, it should be on our hearts, it should shape our day-to-day decisions. And so today we're going to talk about, the title is, Living in Light of Heaven. I do believe as we live each day of our lives, that thinking about heaven should shape how we live our day-to-day lives. And as we talk about heaven, it should shape how we live the next week ahead and the days that will follow. But as we continue, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for the opportunity to be able to be here this morning. Father, thank You so much for the gift of life. The Father, we were able to wake up this morning out of our beds. The Father, we were able to travel here safely, and we're able to be here together with one another and being able to worship You here this morning. Father, as we continue our time here today, Father, I pray that Your Spirit guide our Bible study. Father, as we continue to talk about heaven, as we continue to talk about how heaven needs to shape our lives, and that, Father, we'll live each day of our life Father, in light of heaven. Father, please allow your Spirit to guide us here at this time. Father, let your Spirit work through me. Allow each and every one of our hearts to be open and receptive, Father, to whatever it is you want to say to us. So that, Father, we can be able to draw closer to you. And that, Father, we can be able to live lives as faithful disciples. So that, Father, one day we can be with you for all eternity. Father, please again bless this time. Continue to bless our worship service this morning to your glory. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Living in light of heaven. Point number one I want to talk about here this morning, a life that looks forward to heaven. A life that looks forward to heaven. You know, a place that we can look forward to, that far exceeds all other places that you've ever been, and all of other experiences you've ever enjoyed. We should think about heaven. We should set our hearts and minds on things above. You know, I hear some people say that, you know, when I get older, I'll think more about heaven and look forward to heaven. Because heaven will be right around the corner. Or some people think, well, if I have a disability, or I'm suffering, or I've been persecuted, then I should desire heaven. You know, whether we're old, whether we're young, whether we find ourselves in between, even the youngest and the healthiest should desire heaven and dream about what heaven is going to be like. You know, the quote from an author, C.S. Lewis, and he says that if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. If none of my earthly pleasures satisfy it, that does not prove that the universe is a fraud. Probably earthly pleasures were never meant to satisfy it, but only to arouse it, to suggest the real thing. If that is so, I must take care, on the one hand, never to despise or to be unthankful for these earthly blessings, and on the other hand, never to mistake them for the something else of which they are only a kind of copy or echo or a mirage. I must keep alive in myself the desire for my true country, which I shall not find until after death. I must never let it get snowed under or turned aside. I must make it the main object of my life to press on to that country and to help others to do the same. You know, when we think about life, and we think about the words of C.S. Lewis, you know, earthly pleasures, they can satisfy us to a certain point. And we can chase after earthly pleasures, but they'll only satisfy us maybe for the week, maybe sometimes for a month, but they will not satisfy the soul. Because God created us with a desire to know Him, and sometimes that desire is deep down, but there's a place in our hearts that can only be filled by God. That nothing else will satisfy our hearts, because our hearts were designed by God. And they were made for God to have a place in it. Earthly pleasures do not satisfy. But our relationship with God and being in heaven will bring much to our lives. You know, he talked about how he pressed on to that country. You think about in life. Sometimes life with whatever we face in life. You know, we have to press on when we're hit by some curveball that happens in our life. where we have to strain ahead. We have to press on. You know, what keeps us pressing on? That one day we'll be with God for all eternity. You know, when we think about some examples of people who look forward to heaven, you know, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. And when we think about heaven, the way that the people who have gone before us thought about heaven, I'll tell you, it cannot help but shape our life. When we think about heaven, I'll tell you, it'll shape our worship on a Sunday morning. It'll shape how we sing about heaven and how we sing about God. But it'll have some kind of effect on our lives. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, as we think about Abraham, Hebrews 11 and verse 10. You know, the Bible says that, for he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. You know, when we think about Abraham, and you can read about Abraham, and how Abraham sacrificed, how Abraham put his trust in the Lord. So Abraham was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. You know, he was looking forward to it. So he must have imagined what it would be like. Can you imagine a place where God himself is the architect? You know, you think about many different places. You think about many different cities that were built, buildings that were built. And you think about a city, a place that is built by the hands of God. And cities with great architecture. You probably know of some of them. Probably visited some of them. Will not compare to the place that God has built. You know, you think about cities that have advantages. Other cities have disadvantages. But as we think about this city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God, it will have a certain quality of life when we are in heaven. You know, you think about in different cities, the natural wonders. You think about when people come to visit Ottawa, and they're amazed at how beautiful a city Ottawa is. They realize that there's more than just the parliament buildings. You know, other people always say to me, they go, man, when I think about Ottawa, I always think about the parliament buildings. And I always ask, well, so you ever been before? Yeah, I came, but on a class trip. It's amazing how so many people went on a class trip, and either I forgot about my class trip, or we didn't have one. But people come and they're amazed at what they see. You think about different cities, how the natural wonders, how different cities have so many different things to offer. You think about heaven itself. There'll be no crime. There'll be no pollution. There'll be no fatalities. There'll be no garbage. There'll be no homelessness. There'll be no burglary. There'll be no missing children. There'll be no drugs. No rehab centers. No hospitals. No killings. No depression. No wars. No economic downturns. No unemployment. No betrayal, no betrayals, no fear of anger, no fear of anything. There is no city on earth that can offer that. But we can look forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And that we will have a quality of life that no city can offer in comparison. And we can look forward to that as disciples of Jesus Christ. We continue reading in verse 13. So that all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of a country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. You know, these people of faith said they were living by faith when they died. And I hope that could be said of each and every one of us. They know that someone remembers us. You know what? They were living by faith when they died. And so they admitted that they were strangers and aliens on earth. That this, for them, this world was not their home. They were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. In the same way that no city can compare, the best countries to live in the world will not compare with what we will see and experience in heaven. You know, some of us come from different countries, and I'm sure you can give your argument as to why your country is one of the best countries in the world. But God will never be outdone. Whatever we experience in our native country, whatever we experience here in Canada, nothing will compare to the heavenly one that is awaiting us in heaven. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24. Hebrews 11 and verse 24. We see Moses. But Moses as well was thought about and looked forward to heaven. It says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24, says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. You know, Moses stayed faithful to God. It says that he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God. That he made that choice. You think about that. That because of who Moses was, he was surrounded by riches. He was surrounded by so many different things. If he wanted it, he could have it. But yet he chose to go and be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. You know, you think about our own life situations. You know, we are faced with different choices. We're faced with choices, okay, are we going to do what God wants us to do? Or are we going to give in to the pleasures of sin for just a short time? But when we look forward to heaven, look forward to being with God, it cannot help but influence the choices that we make here on this earth. But I'll tell you one thing, if we're thinking about one day, I'm going to be with God, and that one day could be this afternoon, it'll shape how we live our life. If we truly believe what the scriptures teach us. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than all the treasures of Egypt. Why? Because he was looking forward to his reward. We also see another person, Paul, in Philippians chapter 3. That looking forward is something that needs to shape our lives. Looking forward to heaven needs to shape our values, needs to shape our activities, needs to shape our priorities and how we live our life. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, Not that I've already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You know, whatever happens in Paul's life, whatever he accomplished, he says, you know what? Forgetting what is behind. But my focus is what is ahead. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. It says he pressed on toward the goal to win the prize to which God had called him heavenward in Christ. You know, God has a place prepared for us. And, of course, Jesus, when he spoke, and when we look at the scripture, it describes it as a place, describes it as a city, describes it as a country, so that we can look and make comparisons as to our circumstances and compare it with what heaven would be like. And God has a city greater than any city that we've lived, a country, a heavenly one, far greater than any place that we'll ever visit. And they longed for something better because they understood that there was something awaiting them that was better. And as a result, they lived their lives as strangers and aliens on earth. Their hearts did not cling to this world. They knew they were living in this world, but they were not of this world. But their home was in heaven. And their lives were marked with sacrifice, Christ-centered living, righteousness, because they were going to be in heaven with the Lord, and that he was going to reward them for their long service. And they stayed faithful to the very end. You know, when we think about and look forward to heaven, heaven should affect our activities, our ambitions, our recreation, our friends, how we use money or don't use money. It should affect how we live our day-to-day lives. You know, this morning, you know, what are you longing for? What is it that you are longing for in your life? You know, do you think about heaven? And when you think about heaven, does it influence your day-to-day life? Your day-to-day choices? Does it influence how you are as a parent? How you are as a spouse? How you are as a child? How you are as a student? How you are as someone who works? Does it influence how we live our day-to-day life? Because it should. Because looking forward to heaven should shape all aspects of our life. You know, when we think about looking forward to heaven, you know, there are different things that we look forward to and long for. You think about if you're on a vacation. Now, there are times I've been on vacation, and sometimes I've been away from the family, but I always long to go home. That's always a good thing. No matter how much I might enjoy where I've been, I always long to be home with my family. Sometimes I long to be home in my home, but I always long to be home. Because home is always better. That there is no place like home. You know, you think about if you've ever been to a party. That's how you look forward to going to a party. You look forward to going to a banquet of some kind. You know, this past summer, I was asked to perform a wedding in Toronto. And it was an outdoor wedding. And let's just say it was very warm. Actually, it was very hot outside. And so it was an afternoon wedding. So But a wedding was like at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Out in the sun, there was a gazebo, there was everything. And afterwards, this was not your typical reception. This was a banquet. And this was not just any banquet or any kind of reception. This was an Italian reception. And I'll tell you, these dear friends of ours, let's just say, as soon as I finished, you know, of course, doing the wedding part, the ceremony part, everyone made their way over to the tent. So there was an actual tent for the appetizers. And all on this table, there was the antipastos, I guess it was. And I'll tell you, this table was full. And I saw this table and I was like, you know what? This must be dinner. This was the, I wouldn't even say appetizer. It was like a pre-appetizer. And it was full. Everyone's eating. And then through the night, food is just coming and coming. And then, of course, Eric was with us. And he was enjoying himself. The music was on the dance floor. He was up dancing on the dance floor. And let's just say, it was quite night. And we're like, oh, we're going to leave. You're not staying? This is like 10 o'clock. Well, no, we're going to take Eric to get home. Well, the food is coming out at 11. So they were still set, like I think at 11 o'clock or whatever. There was like food still coming out at 11 o'clock. And I'll tell you, this was a banquet. But you know, I knew I was going to eat. And if you think about it, if you knew you're going to a wedding banquet, you know, there are some things we just don't do when we're going to a big banquet. We don't stop off on our way at Burger King or Taco Bell on our way to a banquet. If you're going somewhere you like, you know, in some cases, I've been to some places where I've known, you know, there's going to be a lot of food there, so let me not eat lunch. But you think about it, we don't stop off at Burger King or Taco Bell, and if you love Burger King or Taco Bell, no offense. We don't stop off at these places on our way to a banquet. Because we know it's going to spoil our appetites. Nor do we try to fill our stomachs with leftovers. Because we're going to a banquet. You know, but in life, that's at times how we can be. That we are going to a banquet. A banquet that's in heaven for us. But yet we try to fill ourselves with the scraps of the world. We try to fill our stomachs with all these different things that the world has to offer. And God is sitting there saying, you know what? Why are you trying to fill yourself with these different things when there's a banquet prepared for you? But we need to understand that we're going to be going to a party, a banquet. And we should not get caught up in the world where we lose sight of the big picture and what God has prepared for us. You know, look forward to it being a great adventure. You know, Peter Pan said to die will be an awful big adventure. You know, as Christians, when we die, it'll be a wonderful, great adventure. You know, you think about what can death do to us? Death will not separate us. It'll actually usher us into the presence of God. You know, someone said that the anticipation of heaven doesn't eliminate pain, but lessens it and puts things into perspective. The anticipation of heaven doesn't eliminate pain, but lessens it and puts things into perspective. And how meditation is a great pain reliever. Because it reminds us that suffering and death are only temporary conditions. What we face in life is only temporary. But we should look forward to and think about heaven, especially if that's where we want to spend eternity. That we should look forward to spending eternity with God. A life that looks forward to heaven. And number two, a life that gets us ready. A life that gets us ready. You know, again, we can get so caught up in this world where we allow only the temporal to shape our decisions and our actions rather than the spiritual and the eternal. We make great plans for the temporal. You know, life is about planning for the next week, the next month, planning for the retirement, planning for all these different things. There's nothing wrong with planning for those different things. But sometimes we don't take any effort to plan and get ready to be in heaven. Well, we could be very preoccupied with the things of this world. We can be preoccupied with, well, what's popular today? What's the latest trend? What's the latest fashion? What's on the top music charts of today? We can get caught up with all these different things. We can get caught up with the pleasures of this world and be short-term thinkers, where we only think about what's in front of us. We only think about what's temporary instead of thinking about what is eternal. Where we can think life here is all there is. But we need to be long-term thinkers, spiritual thinkers rather than worldly thinkers. Where we live a life that gets ready for the next. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 3, begin reading in verse 8. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends." Okay, whenever something starts off and it says, "Do not forget this one thing, dear friends," something very important for us to listen to. And it says, "With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and the speed it's coming. The day will bring about destruction of the heavens by fires, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him." You know, it says the Lord does not want anyone to perish. That's the very heart of God. But everyone to come to repentance. So the day of the Lord will come like a thief, suddenly and unexpectedly. And so therefore, what kind of life should we live? So we ought to live holy and godly lives. That we are to make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. You know, that's how we get ourselves ready. We get ourselves ready by living holy and godly lives. You know, we don't have time to turn there in Matthew 6 and verse 9 to 10. When Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he says, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That how do we get ready? We live heaven now. That we live time now. Meaning that, how will we be in heaven? Will we be kind in heaven? Then we need to practice kindness now. If we will be pure in heaven, we need to be pure now. If we'll be loving in heaven, we need to live it now. Will we be self-controlled in heaven? Then we need to be self-controlled now. Will we be generous in heaven? Then we should be generous now. That we need to live heaven now. What's important is that we live heaven now. That we think about, how will I be in heaven? Then that's how I should live my day-to-day life. You know, I'll turn to one last scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1. You know, it's important that we are making sure that we are getting ourselves ready for heaven. But that we're living heaven now, and in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 3, that as we live our day-to-day lives, that we are living our lives as disciples of Jesus Christ, living our lives how God wants for us to live. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 3, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in this last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though for a little while you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." An inheritance that can never spoil, perish, or fade, kept in heaven for us. That is what is waiting us in heaven. But it says here that they had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And in life, we face different trials. Maybe right now there's a trial of some kind that we are going through in our life. But it says that your faith of greater worth than gold. It says, may result in praise, glory, and honor. That your faith of greater worth than gold will be refined so that it can be proved genuine. You think about gold itself. You know, in Proverbs chapter 17, you don't need to turn there, in verse 3, it says, "The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart." That the same way that gold is purified through the fire, in the same way that we as Christians are refined through the fires that we face in our life, through the times of testing that we face. And gold is put through the furnace to remove all the different impurities. You know, one thing I've learned as a Christian is that God helps us to get ready. That God helps us to get ready in one way or another. Again, we face different things that happen in our life, but God works in those different situations to remove all the different impurities in our hearts, to get us ready for heaven. Because God wants us to have a genuine faith. But things happen, reveal what kind of faith that we have, or what is in our hearts. Because so many times we can have a circumstantial faith. A faith that's based on circumstances. Where we know God, I know that God loves me. Well, because God gives me everything I want. God gives me this, He gives me this, He gives me that. Then when God doesn't give it to us, well, God doesn't love me. There must be something wrong. But so many times things happen in our life to reveal what's lacking in our faith, to test our faith, so that our faith can become genuine. Because so many times we can get blindsided believing that I have a genuine faith. Because we're not facing any tests in our life. But when we face tests in our life, then we see what kind of faith we have. So that we can work so that it becomes genuine. Sometimes we might have a self-elevated faith. That's a faith where we believe our faith is where it really isn't. And in Romans talks about how important it is for us to not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, but in accordance with our faith. But sometimes we can get away from and believe that we have this certain faith when we don't. And sometimes we can look back as to, well, all these different things I did, here's where I am now. You know, the one thing I've learned as a Christian, it's not about what we've done years ago that demonstrates our faith. It's what we're doing today that demonstrates our faith. We say, well, I used to be able to do this or do this when I was doing this or doing that. God's like, well, what are you doing for me lately? What did you do for me last week? What are you doing for me this week? And we can get so caught up at times with positions and titles. And God wants us just to live and have a genuine faith that we had when we first became a Christian. Think about how you lived when you're a young Christian. God wants you to still live that way. But sometimes God allows things to happen to get our attention, to help us realize, you know what, your faith is not where you think it's at. It's lacking. So you know what, you need to work on it so it can be genuine, because I want you to make it to the end to spend eternity with me. But God helps us to get ready. Unfortunately, at times it comes through trials, it comes through testing. But God helps us so that our faith can be refined, so we can work to build our faith, because we wouldn't build it if we didn't realize it was lacking. But God works to refine and build our faith so that we can be able to spend eternity with Him. So He helps us to get ready. You know, God wants us for us to have a genuine faith, sincere faith, pure hearts, because He wants us to make it to the very end. You know, we need to live in light of heaven. And that means we need to look forward to heaven. What heaven will be like. To use our imagination to think about what heaven will be like. Some of us have wild imaginations. But we need to use our wild imagination to think about what heaven's going to be like and what you're going to do in heaven. And allow that to shape your life. Where we live holy, godly, spotless, blameless lives here and now. Where we do all we can to get ready to be with God in heaven for all eternity. Let us live in light of heaven and allow it to shape our priorities, our activities, our values, ambitions, our recreation, our relationships, how we spend our money, how we spend our time, how we spend every moment of our life. And let us live our lives in light of heaven. Amen.